I was asked to come and give a presentation about the history of the checkoff. And before I do, I wanted to just tell you that back in 1983 and 84, when this started, I was 10 years old, Don. This has been one of the highlights of my career. I mean, I love working with this industry. This industry works together. This checkoff program has worked very well. You know, you've had a checkoff program since 1922, several of the states. You've had the Beef Industry Council since 1963. This industry has always worked together to promote their products. Okay, I got involved. I guess I'm not supposed to walk by those microphones. I got involved back in 1984 after there had been two referendums failed in this industry. Okay. I guess I need to get the clicker. Is that up there? Thank you very much. Are we up here? What I want to talk to you about today is how we got to where we are today. Contrary to popular opinion, I didn't write the first checkoff for the beef industry in 1922. But I've been accused of it several times. Back in 1975, the industry came together to try to write some checkoff legislation. This is what it wrote. There was one Senate bill, but there were six different House bills. Okay? Each of them had a little different provisions promoted by some different interests. What I want to show you is how difficult it is to get legislation through. On October 2nd, 1975, H.R. 7656 passed the House. But look at the vote numbers. 229 to 189. Okay? There wasn't a consensus in this industry. Hell, the debt ceiling legislation got more votes than that. Look in the Senate. You had 47 yeas to 36 nays. There wasn't a consensus here. So what was the result of that? We had a conference report between the House and the Senate that had to agree to a bunch of stuff because none of the bills conformed with each other. We had an assessment rate of a percentage of the market price. We couldn't agree on whether we should hold people liable for not paying the assessment. There are a number of things in the bill that were problems. Okay? It was signed into law on May 8th, 1976. And this was the result. We needed 2/3 voting to pass it. We ended up with 57%. Failed. But you guys are resilient and bullheaded. So what did we do? We went back in and we said, you know what? We're going to change it from 2/3 to 50% passage rate. Okay? Well, you guys are bullheaded. The industry said, you know what? We don't like that bill. We don't like that bill. You changed it from 2/3 to 50%, you got 35% voting in favor of it. So the industry as a whole was not behind that program. So what happened? We went back and quite frankly, when I got involved, the Beef Industry Council and the National Cattlemen's Association got together and decided they need a piece of legislation that would pass, not only through Congress, but be passed by producers. So what we did in the Beef Promotion and Research Act of 85 is we changed a number of things. We created qualified state beef councils out of the programs that you had in the states. We actually used them to collect the assessment. Okay? We gave them a credit for the assessments that they were being paid under their state legislation. We changed the rate of assessment. The rate in the previous bill was so confusing, nobody knew what the assessment rate was going to be on a head of cattle. So we changed that. We made it $1. Now, today we would have liked to have made it $3. But back then, you weren't going to get $3. Okay? We created the operating committee. Why did we create the operating committee? Because we have $1 collected from every cattleman who sells cattle. We have state programs and we have a national program. And the only way to ensure that those dollars are spent in coordination is to bring those two groups together. It is a partnership between the state beef councils and a national program. Okay? 10 members of the Federation of State Beef Councils, wherever that is located, used to be at BIC, it's at NCBA now, it is the state beef councils that determine their representatives on the operating committee. Okay? 10 members of the beef board. Oh, I guess I could. There was one other issue there, and it was the referendum. Let's talk about the differences. Selection of board members. In the old bill, we had general farm organization. Anybody could nominate. Anybody could nominate. You didn't even really have to show any credentials. In the new piece of legislation, you had to be an eligible organization. You had to be certified by the secretary to nominate people to the Cattlemen's Beef Board. The rate of assessment. If people can't figure out what the assessment's going to be when they sell their cattle, they're not going to vote for this thing. You guys have so many different payment processes, nobody knew what the assessment was going to be. Under the new law, we made it easy. $1. 50 cents of it can go to the state beef councils under a credit program because all of the state laws, okay, had an assessment based on per head. Well, there were a couple that didn't. But it was a 25 cents per head, 50 cents per head. So it made it easy. People could understand what they were going to pay under the checkoff. The operating committee. Under the old law, the beef board took all the money and decided how they were going to spend it. Understand, that failed twice. And if you don't think, and this may raise some hackles out there, but if you don't think that the state beef councils weren't concerned about the old legislation and taking all the money, you're crazy. Okay? So what did we do? In order to get the industry to support a piece of legislation, we created the operating committee, which allowed state beef councils some input into how the dollars were going to be spent. You did that so we could get passage. Okay? In the referendum, we went back to a 50% plus one majority of all those who voted in the referendum. We weren't using all the cattle numbers out there. We weren't using any of that stuff. Okay? We went to a 50%. 1988, it passed with 79%. Remember, previous piece of legislation, or previous order, got 37%. Cattlemen said they wanted these dollars spent in coordination. In the legislation that we created in 85, we created some definitions. Established national nonprofit industry governed organizations. Those were organizations that could contract for funding from the Cattlemen's Beef Board operating committee. Okay? So the operating committee could contract with established national nonprofit industry governed organizations. Why? They wanted to use the existing resources that were out there. They didn't want to create new bureaucracies. Let's use the resources we have out there. The definition of that is that they were obviously a 501c3, 5 or 6, governed by a board of directors representing the cattle or beef industry, and were active and ongoing at the time of the act. Been a lot of debate about that. This thing is 25 years old now. That's the way it was written back in 85, because that's what cattlemen wanted. Use the existing resources. You had the BIC, you had NCA, you had the foundation, you had resources out there, use them. Eligible organization. Eligible organization, it was designed to define those organizations who could nominate to the secretary. Now understand, the Secretary of Agriculture just can't pluck anybody off the street and put them in as a Cattlemen's Beef Board member. They got to be nominated by an organization. Okay? So we defined who those organizations could be. Qualified State Beef Council. This is probably the best thing we did. We took all of those beef councils out there that were already collecting money, already had established staffs, okay, already had resources, and we qualified them. We made them submit applications to the Cattlemen's Beef Board to be qualified so they could collect the funds. You didn't have two collection mechanisms out there. I know you guys. I can imagine how that would go. Gee, it's hard to get you to pay one of them. So we designed this thing to work in coordination with the state beef councils and the national program. The Federation. At the time, the Federation was the Beef Industry Council of the National Livestock and Meat Board. BIC had been around since 63. It had a staff of people who were out promoting beef. Okay? That's not what created its importance. The importance was that it was the Federation of State Beef Councils. It is the Beef Council that creates the partnership with the Cattlemen's Beef Board. The beef councils are the ones who send representatives to the operating committee. The beef councils are the ones who are responsible for collection and compliance in the states. It's the beef councils that are the partners. Okay? But at the time, the Federation of State Beef Councils was at the Beef Industry Council, National Livestock and Meat Board. So in the order that was issued by the Secretary of Agriculture, it talks about the Federation being the Beef Industry Council or any successor organization. In 86 through 96, we had a pretty mundane 10 years. People fought about whether Cattlemen's Beef Board could have committees, and you know, we had healthy debate about how this program would operate. It collected money. It actually worked. It implemented programs on a national level. Okay. As we were doing that, it created some problems. Because you had several organizations that were qualified for money, established national, nonprofit, industry-governed organizations, you had a lot of competition for funding. The National Cattlemen's Foundation wanted money. NCA wanted money. The BIC wanted money. Put the operating committee in the middle. There wasn't one voice. There wasn't one plan. Everybody came with their own plans. The state beef councils got caught in the middle. Because you had organizations out there looking for funding with no common purpose, no common plan. There was a lack of direction. Now, obviously, these are my observations. People may disagree with this. Okay? There was a lack of direction for the program. There was a lack of efficiency. We had overlapping programs between the NCA, the Beef Industry Council, and there were too many people out there speaking. Okay? So what happened? The operating committee struggled to prioritize funding. It became a beauty pageant, in effect. There was no overall plan for the program, and quite frankly, the state beef councils, because remember, they have money on the state level, and they send 10 representatives to the operating committee. They were caught in the middle. You had all these organizations going after their money, whether it be on the state level or the national level. So in 1996, there was a merger. NCA and the National Livestock and Meat Board were merged to form the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. When we did this, we did it because I represented the CBB. Okay? They became the successor organization. The Federation was merged into NCBA. The Federation was merged into NCBA. The Federation is important because that is the state beef councils. Okay? They were merged into NCBA. CBB, and I took a lot of lashes for this, but CBB was not merged because they are a quasi-governmental entity. They are appointed by the Secretary of Agriculture to carry out the purposes of the Beef Promotion and Research Act 1985. They could not be merged in. So they are separate and continue to be separate to this day. What were the reasons for the merger? And again, you may agree with this or you may not agree with this, but this is what the merger principles were. One voice, one plan. You had a long-range planning concept. They wanted to create focus for the program. We had a long-range plan that could be implemented by organizations on a state and national level. We had what we call a budget committee. We still have a budget committee, don't we? Okay. We had joint program committees. We had issues relating to producer communications. In the order, producer communications is allocated separately to both the operating committee and the beef board. We needed to bring that together so we didn't have five different programs. Okay. We looked at industry coordination both on the state and national level and with policy and checkoff. There are issues that affect the checkoff that are policy related. We can say we don't like that. We can say that the checkoff should not be involved in policy and it can't spend money for policy. But when the FDA makes statements about beef, somebody needs to deal with that. I don't care who you support, whether you support NCA, NCBA, National Farmers Union, USCA, I don't care who you support. Somebody's got to deal with that for the beef industry. And the research and the information they use to deal with that probably comes from the checkoff. That's the way it's worked. It's worked for 25 years. We then got into a period of time when the checkoff was challenged by outside forces. Okay? You had LMA and some producers, South Dakota, filing a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of the beef checkoff program. We spent 6 years fighting this battle. The industry got together and they fought that battle. Okay? The industry got together and fought that battle. And they won. It was upheld as a valid use of government speech. Okay? We did everything right in the development and implementation of the program. Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of the program. The other thing it did was it allowed it. One area was the qualified state beef councils. Okay, and where did they fit in? The Supreme Court upheld the process we used for qualifying state beef councils. So we provided at least another layer of protection for the state beef councils. We've now gone through a period of time, the constitutionality of the checkoff program was upheld. And by the way, you should feel very comfortable because your checkoff program provided protection for all of the other national checkoff programs that are out there. Not only was the mushroom program reinstated as a constitutional checkoff program, yeah, there is a mushroom program, but the dairy program had also been challenged. And as a result of the Supreme Court decision in the beef case, the dairy program was upheld. But now we're in a period of time when the industry is changing. Okay? We have several voices in the industry. On the policy side, we have several voices. Whether that's good or bad, it's not for me to determine. It just is. Okay? We have state beef councils comprised of representatives from several different organizations, different positions. Okay? That's the way it is. These situations create some competing situations within the beef councils and on the CBB. We need to learn to deal with those. We also have intense scrutiny, intensified scrutiny about how we spend our money. Not only from people outside the industry, animal rights, vegan nutritionists, but internally, we have increased scrutiny. We need to learn how to deal with that stuff. It's just the way it is. Okay? For the past 2 years, we've gone through a pretty healthy review, and I will call it healthy review, of the financial system at NCBA and the other contractors. And we're working through those issues that were identified. And it's important that you understand that Cattlemen's Beef Board represents everybody who pays into the checkoff. Importers, producers who don't belong to NCBA, producers who do belong to NCBA, producers who don't belong to any organization. We've talked about NCBA and the governance task force changes. Okay, a bunch of recommendations came forward. A CBB committee and board looked at recommendations to change the Beef Checkoff Act. Okay? There's debate within the industry about what we ought to do with the checkoff, whether we ought to raise it to $2, whether we ought to change the requirement for established national nonprofit industry-governed organizations. That's a healthy debate. That's a healthy debate. Okay? And the debate ought to continue. What is it now? A dollar now is worth 27%? 23% of what it was in 85. That's a healthy debate. It's important that we have it in the industry. Okay? And we don't go after the checkoff when we have that debate. I've represented the checkoff since the inception of the program. And I am a strong advocate for this checkoff program. This program has done more good for this industry than almost any other checkoff program out there has done for any other industry. We need to make sure that we protect this program as a very valuable asset. The guiding principles of this program was a partnership between the Cattlemen's Beef Board and the state beef councils. Okay? And the state beef councils. There was a principle that you use existing resources in the industry and you don't create new bureaucracies. We have to recognize that the landscape in the industry on the policy side has changed. We need to learn to deal with that. We need to protect the checkoff as an industry asset, because I'm going to tell you something. If you lose this checkoff, you'll never get another one. Okay? I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come and talk a little bit about this. You may not agree. All of you may not agree with what I've said today. This is my perception. It's not the Cattlemen's Beef Board's perception. It's my perception of the history of this checkoff. And I'd be happy to answer any questions if that's what you wanted to do, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have any questions for Wayne? Any questions? If not, if you enjoyed that presentation, let's give him a round of applause.